Good afternoon, gallery and staff and councillors. Thank you very much for coming along. I declare the meeting open at 5:32. I'll go to item two on the agenda, acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the cultural custodians of the land, the Kanyang Pibblemen and Wurundjeri people. We acknowledge and support the continuing connection to the land, waterways and community. We pay our respect to members of the Aboriginal communities and their culture, and to elders past and present, their descendants still with us today, and those who will follow in their footsteps. Item three on the agenda, attendance, apologies and leave of absence. What we know is that Councillors Robinson, Pratico and Boyle are apologies for tonight's meeting, and there are no leaves of absences. To the gallery, thank you very much for attending this evening. I request that you place your names on the attendance sheet on the table at the entrance of the chambers if you haven't done so already. Response to previous questions taken on notice. CEO, do we have any?
No.
Thank you, CEO. Item six on the agenda this evening, public question time. I now open public question time at 5:33. If you have a question for the council, please step up to the microphone and state your name and address. And if you are a ratepayer and or resident prior to asking your question. Is there any questions from the gallery? That being the case, I'll close question time at 5:34. Item seven on the agenda, petitions, deputations and presentations. Today we have two presentations, one from Mr. Adrian Williams and a second one from Mr. John Bergs. So if Mr. Adrian Williams from the MSc Soil and Water Engineering would like to make a deputation to outline a project proposal. Thank you very much, Mr. Williams.
Thank you. Good evening. Nice to be amongst many friends, and I've assisted the council in the past with help with their oval and sorting out the soil problems there and the sodicity and salinity of the water that's going into it. I've talked to the council regarding the growing problem of tunnel erosion in this area. And obviously, I just can't help myself. I'll come up with something else. Basically, there's a grant going from the State Natural Resource Management Office for up to $50,000 over 18 months. And they're looking particularly at community engagement, sustainable agriculture, and naturally, management of natural resources. And I was thinking about, with our present situation, the cost of food is going through the roof, and even if prices of the fuel come down, prices of the food probably won't fall off particularly quickly. So I thought, well, how can we put a project together that would actually encourage urban and small landholder increased production of local food? We have a potential to do that and to increase what we call soil health. And it's the soil health angle and natural resource management that would sell this to the state NRM office. The proposal is to engage a consortium of local not-for-profit organisations to develop and run an 18-month project to encourage local food production. I've mentioned the grants and what they'll be looking for. What I'm suggesting, I think, ticks all their boxes. At the Regen Festival on Saturday, I buttonholed a whole lot of organisations. I said, yeah, we're in it. So there's a whole consortium of small landholder, whole consortium of not-for-profit groups that would support this. And of course, obviously, the more groups you've got, the better the applications are looked at, are viewed. The project would be curated and managed by one of these local not-for-profit organisations. And some of the cost of running such a project would be through things like advertising, production of written materials, maybe the development of a website, although we could possibly piggyback on an existing website. We would need to provide some resources for keynote speakers, local, because we can't bring them for any distance because of the field costs. And there's lots of local people we can call upon. And probably we'll need a part-time person who would coordinate this project and record the results and the progress. Not me. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but if this were to come to pass, we'd have increased food security in the region. We'd be giving people the knowledge and skills to produce food and improve nutritional quality, leading to better physical and mental health. The possibility of matching older residents who have the land and the water with younger families who have the energy but are doing it tough, to put chosen partnerships together so that they can share crop on the land that's already available. More kitchen scraps turned into compost and not ending up in landfill. The project would create space to hear Aboriginal knowledge on native food plants that could grow in our drying climate. The area starts to earn a tourist reputation as a centre for good food, and so on. And then sorting out particular problems, like people who have land and orchards, but who haven't got, because they're working, but haven't got the time to, or the funds to harvest, and what have you. Okay, so we investigate the idea that's used a lot in the UK, pick your own. Sort out the legal requirements for that. So lots of ramifications, I think, if this were to get off the ground. One other thing would be to keep a really good written record of how this project develops for extension to other areas. And I'm thinking particularly here of Aboriginal communities who could maybe be encouraged to have their own food gardens, so that they're not paying extortionate amounts of money for crap food which is making them sick. They can grow their own. I'm about to. Thank you. So the support I'm asking to seek for the council, I'm seeking from council, would include letters of support, maybe assistance from the Shire's accomplished grant writer, Joe Morton, waiving of higher fees for occasional use of the lesser hall that we could then claim as an in-kind contribution to the project, and occasional support for the project in Shire written material, and maybe occasional attendance at project activities by interested councillors. That's my opening gambit. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Council may have questions for you. I have one.
Yep.
Mine being, have you seen similar models to this work elsewhere in the world?
There are a few. I don't think that the state NRM office are going to receive an application that's based on how natural resource management through improved soil health can in fact improve the lives of the human community. I think that will be fairly unique and something that we'll maybe sit up and think. That doesn't really cover your answer question particularly well. But there would be. There would be.
Is there any other questions? Councillor Fletcher.
Adrian, two questions. Can
yes.
you just remind us again what the total grant was? I think you said a period of 3 years.
No, there is a bigger grant, up to 400,000 over 3 years. I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at a grant for 18 months, which is 50,000.
Okay, and also with
these... If I may just on that too. With a view that if it is going and really going well, we might find other sponsors who want to jump in and support it and make it grow.
Well, that leads into my second question in relation to these things happen, and often they fall in a hole once the funding stops. So what my question is, how sustainable will this project be to be self-sustaining?
Thank you. It would be the project's objective to be a start and for there to be ongoing funding when people start to see its success. And I'm thinking of a particular group down the road by about 15K.
Councillor Gillies?
Thank you for your presentation. It's really interesting. There is actually something quite similar over in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm more interested in is that in Bridgetown, as a fairly recent resident, I've never seen so many rabbits that are just destroying practically everything that we plant.
Yes.
And we've
yes.
had the...
Mine too.
Yep. So we've had the pre-feeding, we've had the biosecurity people come in, we've done all of that. So I'm just interested in how you would manage something like that alongside a project, because I would say that that would be an ongoing issue.
Hmm. In my own case, I take the netting off the fruit trees and put it on the vegetables.
Okay.
And
that keeps them away?
Yep.
Oh, it doesn't do it at my place.
Apart from the little buggers don't go and eat through it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But there are other ways as well.
With a gun?
Gun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, catapults these days, Shanghai's, are illegal.
You can still make one.
So Mr. Williams, if I get it, if I understand it correctly, the NRM funding would be seed funding?
Yes.
To get, and then there would be momentum in itself to have this project to continue in perpetuum. Yeah? Is that what you're proposing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about perpetual, but certainly for a while until it becomes self-sustaining. I could see this being something that the government Department of Waste Management might fund because they would see that reducing the amount of kitchen scraps going to landfill might be a way, might be something they could support. With the op shop in the Anglican Church, they supported things there because they could see that second-hand clothes were not ending up in landfill. So it's partly how you hold your mouth, but there's a surprising amount of different funding possibilities out there once you've got a model going.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Councillor Redman.
Thank you, Adrian, for your presentation. Your reputation as being knowledgeable and having some past success in this area definitely precedes you. And I've experienced myself how how much knowledge landholders can gain from someone like yourself. What I'm interested to know is, if you were successful in receiving the grant, what kind of, I know you spoke about advertising and things, and it sounds to me like what you're saying is there's a whole lot of land out there that's either fertile or could be made fertile, that's not being used for growing food, and you want to see that land being used for growing food in one of the ways that you've outlined, whether it be the people there or other people from other properties.
I don't necessarily want to see the land being used for growing food. I want people to decide if they wish to take up that option.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Would you slide?
Yes. So if you were successful in achieving the grant, what kinds of activities do you envision would help that transition to happen?
First, motivation. Second, what's meant by soil health and how you improve soil health so you can grow the maximum amount of food yields through and with improved nutrition. So you then show people, say, at the community garden how they're doing it there, and then you support people who want to do it by going to their own places and talking it through with them. There could also be some speakers brought in from within this area, Lyndon, who have the skills and knowledge and practice of doing things like that, like this. There's a fourth generation farmer in Manjimup who has now gone away has been grown food through soil health means for quite a long time. He's now retired from that, but he's a speaker at local events. So that's one example. It depends on what people want to talk about. So there's the soil angle, obviously water conservation, how they conserve more water on the property, whether they go for a tank and how they would use that.
So you're saying it would be a series of workshops, speaking events and things like that?
That would be part of it. I'm still framing the ideas at the moment. That would be part of it, but also hands-on visits to properties, people who are already doing things, learning what they're doing and how they do it.
Okay.
Remember, there was a group of farmers who in the wheat belt, who each year have a field day, and the ag department is not allowed in. And it's just amongst themselves. They go to somebody else's property each year, and the resident says, well, this is what's worked, this is what's been a disaster, don't do this. So a scaled-down version of that, if you like, but on more, much more regularly than on an annual basis. That's another part of what I see as this project containing.
Thank you.
Councillor Pearce?
Yes, there'll be a place for bees in there as well.
Thanks for the presentation. What do you need from us tonight?
That idea of support, not tonight, but soon, letters of support and the things I mentioned, which were letters of support, maybe assistance with writing the grant, a waiving of higher fees for the lesser hall, so that's seen as then part of the project, and in-kind contributions to match the part, match the funding, and I guess just the Shire's interest in the project.
If there's no further questions, I would think that Mr. Williams would be liaising with the CEO at some stage.
Right, yes. Let me take it from there. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
Mr. John Burks would like to make a deputation or presentation on the topic of road traffic arrangements for heavy vehicles. Mr. Burks.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Carstairs and CEO Mr. Adams, and all councillors and all Shire officers present and the gallery. The crux of my concern is the main street of Bridgetown. It seems to me that the volume of traffic on Hampton Street is increasing, has been increasing over a number of years, and the heavy transports continue to use that narrow main street, putting at risk our citizens who cross the road every day. So my main desire is that the heavy transport gets diverted another route, another way, and that the traffic that doesn't need to go through the town can also go via that deviation route. The problem is how to put this into effect. Now, I think there's a lot of people in Bridgetown that have very similar ideas that I have, but we've just come to a place where we just don't know how to go forward. And so I've written a report. I thought, well, what does every good engineer do? He writes a report. And then, incidentally, and then having written a report, I thought, well, I need an executive summary here, so I'll get AI to do the executive summary. So here is a report which is what I've written together with AI's executive summary. Now, I've read this and I've contemplated and reviewed my thoughts and what I've written down here, and thought, well, I want to make some changes. I'm still not satisfied. I want to make some amendments. I was intending to go through the executive summary, but I think it might be more useful if we go straight to the conclusions and the next steps in the end of the report. If we could scroll through there, please. Pages 13 and 14, I think. Or 12 and 13, perhaps. Conclusion, here we are. So the capacity of Hampton Street to serve increasing traffic flows through the town is uncertain. So I'm forecasting that there will be more and more bottlenecks in the town. And I've put forward a proposal to address this, which is either we build a bypass, which has been proposed in the past, or another idea would be to build a deviation, a southbound deviation on the railway side, and a northbound deviation on the Cheechalup Brookside, and to put a couple of roundabouts, one at each end of the town, the main part of the town, and then to create in effect a large roundabout around the town. The advantage that I see in that one versus a bypass idea is that if we have a single lane going south and a single lane going north, it would be easy to put a slip road off those single lanes on the inside and set up parking areas immediately adjacent to the town, albeit that they would be behind the buildings in Hampton Street in each case, but could provide easy access into the town. But somehow, I think we need to find a solution. And so this is an idea which I want to put up. The process to how to find a solution, you just scroll down a bit. How are we going for time right now? Five minutes. Okay. Next steps. Instruct a suitably qualified... I think I have to read this. So I believe that we need to write, submit a proposal to the Minister for Transport with a request to instruct a suitably qualified and experienced agency to chair a working group comprising state representatives and local government officers with the aim of cultivating a constructive and cooperative working environment to identify what options are possible and to recommend the next steps. Now, any process like this is going to take a lot of time. But one of the next steps has got to be to develop a plan for what the solution can be, whether it be a bypass or diversions, north and southbound, because we need to know exactly what land is going to be required for this project. And if we don't have that land reserved, then there's no project, no chance. So that would be a key objective, to determine what land is required and to procure that land. Every year, I actually gave a talk here about 3 years ago, some of you may remember, and so far as I can ascertain, nothing's actually taken place. We've had a number of vacant blocks around the town have been now developed, and the numbers, and so the making it more and more difficult to find the suitable or an easy solution to this problem. So I think there's no time to waste. Even though we may not want to build the bypass or deviations now, we need to know what we're going to do, if we're going to do anything. If we don't do anything, I don't know what will happen, because the town will become more, the street will become more and more congested. People will say, trying to find other routes to the southwest, and so it doesn't sound like a very good situation. I think I said earlier that I wanted to amend the report, and one of the ways I'd like to amend the report is to invite you and to have a look at the report and to offer me any comments that you have. In order to in any comments that you have would be very useful. I think it is, I've already mentioned about the identifying the road, the land that's required, and that needs to go into the report. I'm making the proposal in this report. Can I just finish off, please? I have put a proposal in this report that the railway in Bridgetown has done its, has had its day. We've benefited hugely from the presence of the railway, but that was in the up till the 1970s, perhaps. For the last 50 years, we've had a few trains, but really, this town hasn't benefited at all from the railway. So that the case for reassigning the purpose of the rail reserve needs to be strongly put. And I want to reinforce that. I have put it in here, but I need to reinforce it, I believe. I think that what I haven't put in here yet is that I think that it needs to be a consultation of all stakeholders, which I would presume that the Minister for Transport would organise, and that that would include local and state government, obviously, and also I imagine Indigenous leaders as well. I have got two copies, paper copies of the report here. If it would help for you to take these and read them at your leisure, or there is the electronic copy which you have, which can be distributed. Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, that I will conclude my presentation and I offer to make my time available to you for any meetings or receive any comments as required.
Thank you, Mr. Burks. Is there any questions for Mr. Burke? Councillor Fletcher.
Again, thank you for your presentation, John. And you've gone into obviously a lot of history there. My question is, you know, in the last 26 years, I think there have been two, and you mentioned your obviously in your options, Jijilup Brook was one of them, and the other one was the rail precinct and the roundabouts at either end of town, just for one road. But you've looked at the recommendations and the feedback from those reports in compiling this?
I don't believe that I've actually seen any reports. So it might be useful if there are relevant reports out there. I haven't actually seen them.
Okay. They were community-wide, and a community actually voted on them at the time. So it'd be just background information if you're compiling your report. Thank you.
So are you suggesting that it would be useful for me to see those reports?
I think probably for the objections and what have you in there, because you'll need to address things like that, because they're going to come up again, you know, whatever they might be in relation to that. Both those options have been considered in the last 26 years. Some people have lived here longer than I have, but I know that Jijilup Brook was the first one back in just before 2000, and then the one, I think it's now 17 years ago, was the proposal for going on the side that you're suggesting for one lane as well on near the Rollo Reserve.
Yeah, I did attend a workshop here shortly after I arrived in Bridgetown, around about 2008, 2009, where some main roads consultants came and addressed the meeting, and talked about the possibility of a bypass, and council have just had a referendum for as to whether the railway side or the Jijala Brook side was preferable. It was a 50-50 split, so it seems that everything went into abeyance because we couldn't make up our mind. And that's how it seems to me is this, the situation remains. So if anybody can clarify that with me, that would be much appreciated.
Councillor Redmond.
Thanks for your presentation, John. I'm sure that somebody will be able to dig up that report for you, and I'm looking forward to reading your report. Obviously, we've just had very brief detail, but I would really like to read it to find out more about what your ideas are. Personally, while I love the idea of not having trucks come through our main street, I worry that because of our topography and the way the town is already built up, that any deviation road or bypass would either not be possible or would just remove the problem of the trucks from the main street and then transfer that problem to more residential areas or areas around schools or areas around Jijalup Village and things like that, and then impact on those people. I think one of the benefits of having the trucks on the main street is that we don't have too many residential properties in our commercial district, and while obviously the trucks do affect people in town, they get to go home and enjoy their quiet kind of truck-free streets. So I worry about the impact that any solution would have, the flow-on impacts, but I am very much looking forward to reading your report to see what ideas you come up with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions? Councillor Gillies.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm very interested in this, and certainly hanging on to my 2.5-year-old grandson on the main street when he's wanting to run across, it's a real issue with those trucks. But I'm also interested in just the carriage of the trucks and what they're carrying, and whether there could be breakdown areas that require them to break down. Is the gear that they're carrying, are they travelling through to Manjimup? Like, what are the stats on how many trucks are coming into Bridgetown and breaking down here? Not breaking down, like, as in getting rid of their
offloading.
Or breaking down, offloading. So do you know what the stats are around that?
Well, I have tried to, I have included some stats in this report, such as I was able to achieve 3 years ago, but I haven't been able to achieve any further stats. But it's something I could follow up with Main Roads. But I think that's what's needed now. We need to know. We need to understand the trend line to see how big the problem is. In terms of the department, the Southwest. What they call Development Corporation, have written a strategic plan for the next 3 years, but they don't say anything about numbers of traffic numbers, and it's only for 3 years. So one of the questions that I've put in this report is, why can't we ask them to project future traffic numbers for the next 20 or 30 years? That would be a lot more useful. So far as whether the trucks are broken down, we have two trailer trucks going through the town. I don't think when they're approaching, they come from far away. I don't think they've been in a larger configuration and need to be broken down. I think that's how they come. That's how
no, I'm talking about whether they are broken down in the sense that could they offload their cargo, so to speak, prior to going, like, could it be broken down into smaller vehicles and transported to where it's going rather than for the trucks to be, going through Bridgetown? That's what I'm asking, is that, is there statistics around where the trucks are delivering to? Like, where's the gear going? Yeah. Is it necessary for them to act, could it get there some other way? Yeah.
That's a whole area I haven't looked into.
Yeah, it's a big, thinking outside the square, that's
it's
all.
It's a big sort of...
I know it's convenient, area. But I'm just thinking that if we couldn't have a bypass or whatever, how else can we actually deal with that issue?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't offer any...
that's all right.
...advice on that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
There being no further questions, thank you very much, Mr. Birks. Moving on to item 8 on the agenda, comments on agenda items by parties with an interest. Do we have any comments on agenda items? There being no comments, I'll move on to item 9, applications for leave of absence. See you. No matters for consideration. Item 10. I call for someone to move the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 26th of February 2026. Move, Councillor Gillies. And seconded, Councillor McRae. Is there any comments on the minutes? Any questions? There being no comments or questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Unanimous, thank you. Announcements by, this is item 11, announcements by presiding member without discussion. I have a couple of matters I would like to speak to. The first being a report that I'm required to give, as it was a council resolution. So on the 18th of March, I attended a Taliesin Stakeholder Reference Committee meeting, and I'm now going to give a brief overview of the outcome of the meeting. Present at the meeting was Ms. Jo McKenzie, who is Taliesin's Manager of External Affairs and Approvals. And this was the first meeting that Ms. McKenzie attended. Firstly, we covered some general news, and what we learnt was that Taliesin is currently running 3 months ahead of their production expectations. So they're moving in, they're expanding at a phenomenal rate, and they seem to be quite happy with their progress. we had some feedback from Taliesin about the Albemarle shutdown at Kemerton, and what we learnt was that given that Taliesin is still actively recruiting, they've been able to absorb some of the Kemerton personnel. And what they know is that the gold sector has been affording a lot of competition as well for the talent that was at Kemerton. With regard to the dust monitoring program, which commenced earlier this year, Taliesin are now projecting that they probably won't have any results to share for a further 6 months. With regards to waste rock and tailings, what they find is that due to geotech and other studies yet to be conducted, Taliesin doesn't expect to be able to report back on these matters until September, October. Now, I'll go back in time a little bit and then bring you forward. So at the September 25 workshop, Taliesin and the committee identified seven deliverables, they being biodiversity outcomes, dust management, water quality assessment, independent monitoring, i.e. dust monitoring, road use, health, transparency and communications. So Taliesin conducted a brief session, and what we learnt from the committee was that by and large the committee recognised that some progress towards these deliverables have been made since September. Deliverables including, for example, and this is quite exciting news for the people of Greenbushes, is that a community car wash is to be installed by Taliesin in Greenbushes at a location yet to be identified. So this was seen by the Greenbushes attendees at the meeting to be hugely looked forward to news. So they were quite happy to hear about that. And the other good outcome is that Taliesin are now going to be looking for participants in a program to do with solar panel cleaning. So that's another positive outcome of the process. The second matter I want to raise with you today is the one to do with the Forest Products Commission and the contributions it makes to Shire services. So as you may or may not know, the Forest Products Commission as a state entity is exempt from paying local government rates on the freehold land, and this is under the Forest Products Act 2000. And instead of paying rates, the Commission actually makes equivalent payments back to state revenue. Last week, the Shire received a letter stating that the Commission has agreed to provide a sponsorship contribution of some $52,000 this year to the Shire of Bridgetown Greenbushes, which is across what would be the rates for this year, equivalent of the rates for this year, and a projected figure for the 26-27 financial year to compensate the Shire for the rates that the Commission would have otherwise had to pay to the Shire. This outcome was achieved through advocacy via the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils to the Minister of Agriculture and Food, Fisheries, Forestry, Small Business and the Midwest, the Honourable Jackie Jarvis, who met with CEOs, including Mr. Adams, sitting alongside us, and council representatives of the Alliance. And that took place in January in Perth. Forestry Products Commission has further expressed a willingness to continue supporting the Shire services beyond this period, particularly those services that directly benefit the plantation industry, with further discussions to occur. And with that, I'll conclude the announcements for today. And for staff and councillors, item 12 on the agenda is notification of disclosures of interest. So if you would, yes, Councillor Fletcher.
Well, first of all, I wish to disclose an interest, but I'm just checking in relation to standing our local law standing orders 9.1 was about councillors being required to stand each time during debate. Is that for the whole year, or is it just for the previous meeting?
Yes, my understanding, councillor, is that we would do it at each meeting. So at some point this evening, I will lead with a proposal to suspend Standing Order 9.1, I think it is. Thank you, councillor.
Okay, so can I then? I don't need to stand for declaring my impartiality interest.
Well, how about I move a motion to suspend? I'd like to move a motion to suspend Standing Orders 9.1. Members to rise, and I believe I have to read the whole. CEO advises that everyone is across it. So suspend 9.1, members to rise. And my reason being that given that the audio is such that to use it effectively, councillors would rise and then have to stoop, and that really doesn't make it practicable. So I'm moving it. If there was Councillor Fletcher. Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. If there's no objections, I'll all those in favour? Thank you, councillors. Councillor Fletcher.
I'd like to declare an impartiality interest in item on the agenda 19.1, which relates to me as I am the subject of it, because it is about nominating me as chair of the LEMC committee, and I declare that I will consider the matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you, Councillor. Item 13 on the agenda, questions on agenda items by elected members. Any questions? I'll move on. Item 14, considerations of motions of which previous notice has been given. There's no matters for consideration. Now move to item 16. Is that right? CEO's office 16.1. Notice of motion partnering with Talison Lithium for place planning. I call on Councillor Gillies to move her motion. Councillor Pearce.
I declare a financial interest in this item as my employee of Talison. I'm going to leave the room.
Thank you, Councillor Pearce. Councillor Gillies, I call on you to move your motion. Yes, please, okay. Councillor.
Microphone. Sorry. And I'm just flagging a slight amendment as well. Do you want me to insert that as we go? Or yep. Okay. So do you want me to flag the amendment straight up? That I'd actually, I was a bit remiss, and I should have included the Shire President also in one, to request the Chief Executive Officer and the Shire President to approach Talison Lithium to partner with the Shire of Bridgetown Greenbushes and contribute funding to undertake place planning for both the town sites of Greenbushes and Bridgetown, recognising that the impacts of the Greenbushes mine and its expansion extend across the wider Shire. Two, notes that the southern edge of the mine is approximately 9 kilometres from the northern entry to Bridgetown, and that population growth, workforce movement and service demand affect the broader community. Three, requests that a report on the outcome of one above and the scoping documents for the place planning project be presented to Council for consideration. Four, requests the Shire President and Chief Executive Officer meet with the Department of Education to discuss plans for future student capacity, location of primary schools, and potential for the future expansion of the Bridgetown District High School to a senior high school status.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Ridden. I take it this is the substantive motion. Thank you, CEO. Is there any questions from the council?
Look, there's the background has been given here. I mean, what's motivated me to put this notice of motion is that the Shire had budgeted for place planning for Bridgetown, and Greenbushes was not included, which I was I just thought that was not right. Then I heard that Talison Lithium were actually going to do a place planning of their own. I thought that it was a good opportunity to actually work in partnership with Talison Lithium and also to give a strong message to Greenbushes that even though, you know, it is a mining, it's a little mining town, it's not a Talison town as such. You know, Greenbushes has its own identity and it's important that we recognise that. I really believe that if we'd gone ahead and done place planning just for Bridgetown, I think that it would have caused a bit of angst with the people in Greenbushes. I'm hoping that this is a positive partnership with Talison, that both the CEO and the Shire President can speak to. Regarding number four, I believe that this is a really important additional conversation to have with the Department of Education. I believe that these conversations have been had in the past. Councillor Fletcher and I were speaking about it earlier. And I believe that with the growth of Bridgetown, it's a really important conversation that we've got student drift. I mean, we're always going to have a little bit, but if we don't provide a senior high school, we will have definite drift. And also just the reality of putting kids on buses for extended periods of time is not fun for them. So I think that these conversations fit within this place planning conversation.
Thank you, Councillor Gillies. Can I ask a question? My question. My question is that with regard to item number three, or recommendation number three, you're indicating that a scoping document would be presented to council for consideration. Do you have a time frame for that?
In short, no. I mean, obviously,